Welcome to The Sound of Automation, brought to you by Clayton and McCurvey, CPAs for growth-driven businesses.
Welcome back, Brian.
Denise, how are you?
Good to see you.
And you as well.
Yeah. So today we have a very special guest, our colleague Ben Smith, fellow senior manager at Clayton McCurvey.
Yes.
And he's doing something that few of us understand called data analytics. So are you going to try to unpack that a little bit today for our listeners?
Yes. I'm hoping that Ben can actually explain to me what it is, because I keep hearing it, but no, I know quite a bit about data analytics, but I think that's our goal here in this episode, right, is to try and demystify that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about a lot of things on the podcast. We had Tom Kelly on from Automation Alley talking about, you know, Industry 4.0. A lot of that probably means something different to every single person.
Sure.
And so really hoping to try and break that down, you know, especially for our business owners,
okay,
right? If I'm a small business owner, data analytics is probably far from my mind of something I want to invest time in. I've got to keep the business going. But
it doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't have to be. And there's some simple things you can do to get started. And then, like anything else, you start small and kind of grow from there.
Okay, good. I'm looking forward to what he has to share today.
Excellent.
All right.
Take care.
See ya.
All right. Welcome to The Sound of Automation. Today, my guest is Ben Smith, Senior Manager from Clayton McCurvey. Ben heads up our consulting practice, but really here today, he's joining me to talk a little bit about data analytics. So, Ben, welcome.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate you having me on.
Oh, no problem. So, Let's start off at the ground level. What is data analytics?
That's a tough question. Pass.
Okay. So thank you for joining us today. Yeah. This has been a great episode.
You know, I think data analytics is a very broad term. So that generates a lot of kind of uncertainty for most business owners because it can mean a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. At the core, data analytics is literally just taking raw data and looking at it for trends to develop information and answer questions. You know, most people kind of hear that definition and they're like, okay, you know, but truly that's what the definition is, right? Yep. And most people are doing some form of data analytics in their business today. It's as simple as taking an Excel spreadsheet of your revenue and plotting out revenue over time and trying to understand what's happening, right? You know, that is data analytics. But I think in recent years, you know, large companies and starting to be the middle market have kind of expanded their capabilities and knowledge of what data analytics is. And as a result of improvements in technology, data analytics has grown to be something more than just looking at some graphs on a spreadsheet, right?
Yeah, you know, and I think that that's one of the challenges for if I'm a small to mid-sized business owner, right? It's been blown up to this thing that seems like it's, you know, it's this huge undertaking and I need special software and, you know, I need a data scientist on staff to analyze everything. But as you said, I mean, we've been doing data analytics, you know, forever. I mean, you think about the traditional accounting services, financial statements, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a form of data analytics, right? You're looking at your gross profit or looking at your net income over time and comparing those things back. So it doesn't have to be this huge undertaking to get started, right?
Certainly not. No. I think that for the middle market, where we see kind of value in data analytics is kind of going wider in the data that we're analyzing. So it's kind of combining disparate systems and things like that at first and starting small. And maybe you've got two different systems and you're trying to look at, you know, get one answer out of two different systems. It's like the mere motion of combining that information and then developing some result out of that is technically data analytics.
Yeah. And I guess you see in working with clients, you know, there's probably some of that analysis paralysis, right? That you're trying to get it just right. Now we want to look at these 10 things and how do we get that data all together? You know, and I think that can slow down and potentially even inhibit a company from going after some of these things.
I would agree. If you try to look at it as, you know, with the ultimate 5-year down the road end answer in mind, you'll get that paralysis by analysis where it looks like this, you know, mountain that you could never climb.
Yeah.
But it really, if you want to be successful, you start by looking at what your organizational goals are for the year. You know, a lot of people, you know, business owners might not have them written down, but they generally have a sense of what they want to accomplish. And it's, you know, kind of looking at those goals and then understanding what information you have, what information might be useful, and then kind of setting some very specific questions out that you want to answer, and then just kind of setting off to, you know, going down the path of combining your data to answer those questions, I guess.
Yeah. So I guess take me through this. Like, let's say I'm a small business owner, right? That, you know, and we run into this a lot within our client base, obviously. You know, you've got a business owner started the company, has kind of learned what I think, the company takes to be run, right? As long as I've got cash in the bank at the end of every month, I'm doing good, right? If my cash gets below a certain level, I start to get nervous. How do you help somebody in kind of that mode who really doesn't have much in the way of data analytics start going through that process? Like you said, identifying, you know, what are the important things that they want to look at, you know, and I think it's, to some extent, it almost starts out like smaller is better, right?
Mm-hmm.
To start with something small and then build out from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and I'll say that most business owners want to grow, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of one of their goals. It's why they became an entrepreneur. So I'd usually start by talking to them just in simple terms about their revenue, mm-hmm. you know, and there are almost always multiple drivers of revenue, and business owners often operate from a point of intuition where it's kind of like I have a general feeling for what's going on in my business. But just, you know, identifying those revenue segments, plotting those things out over time and starting to watch why they're increasing or decreasing and tracing that back to your ultimate customers or end markets or things like that gets you, you know, started down the path of just a very small, starting at the top line, what does my business look like? And that starts your pipeline, right? So yeah. You get that information. And then, you know, as you progress, depending on your goals, you can look at, you know, well, if I put a little bit more investment here, does that grow this market?
You know,
and then you can kind of trace that down to costs and that, but really kind of starting at the top and just getting a true handle on your revenue on a regular basis is a great start.
You know, and I think you touched on something there that's pretty important, right? Is you mentioned that, okay, I'm seeing my revenue, you know, go up or go down or whatever it might be, but it's that next step, right? Mm-hmm. Of, okay, now let's try and figure out why that happened. I think, like you said, a lot of folks will see that and intuitively say, oh, well, it went up because, you know, I had this, I landed a big job that quarter, or a big job fell through and they write it off to this easy explanation, as mm-hmm. opposed to really digging in to see what the data is telling you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that could completely change your approach or some of the things you do.
That's absolutely it. It's, you know, it changed because of, well, it's the mix, and it's like, okay, well, what in the mix changed? And it's like, well, I think it's this. Okay. And then you actually go through and crunch the numbers, and it's like, well, that's only 50% of what drove that change. The other 50% is something that's in your control to do something about that you just weren't aware of, frankly, before. And almost, you know, 9 times out of 10, you learn things just by going through that analysis. So.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and that's another interesting point that you bring up. I mean, when you think about it, right, implementing some data analytics controls into your process is like any other change, right? You're now asking this person who was used to running their business purely on intuition to now say, hey, trust this other thing over here. Trust this tool that I'm getting. What are some of the challenges you see within clients as they're starting to move into using data analytics, you know, and they get to that first point, right? And like you said, hey, 50% of it was out of your control, but 50% was in your control. Getting them to agree to that and believe that.
Yeah. You know, initially what usually comes to light is that everybody in the organization, while you might be talking about one thing, has a different definition of what that one thing truly is. Mm-hmm. So it's understanding the data that you're using, you know, how it's going into your systems, you know, understanding the people and their mindset when they're entering that information, and then making that definition very clear for the organization. So that way everybody understands how we're getting to this end result, right?
Yep.
And then the next thing that happens usually is if you're you know, putting a KPI into place, or you're putting a measure into place, it's for a reason. Mm-hmm. And usually it's because you're trying to drive some certain outcome, which means that certain people are going to have to change in your organization to meet that outcome, right? Yep. And the general progression, anytime you're kind of presenting new information to people, is they'll look at the data. If they accept that the data is true and the data ultimately just doesn't align with how they feel, mm-hmm. they move from a, you know, data-based argument or conversation to an emotional conversation, right? Yep. And it's like, you know, okay, I can't fight this with data, but this just, you know, I've got X, Y, and Z going on. And that process in itself, I think, brings a lot to light for cultural change in an organization, to what you're speaking about.
Yeah, you know, and I think that there's also, you know, and having seen this, you know, within our organization, as we've tried to implement some of these more data-based decision-making approaches, and within, you know, client organizations, there's also a challenge with the underlying data itself, right? That this data was being collected initially with no intent of this kind of analysis being performed on it, right? Mm-hmm. And so now you kind of compound things of, we've already got people resistant to change, mm-hmm. and now the analysis is giving them results different from their expectations. So clearly the data's got to be wrong, mm-hmm. you know, and now you've got to go back through that process and try and help people understand that, hey, this is part of the process, right? It's going to take time. We got to work through this. Okay. We found that, you know, sales were being recorded differently than we thought they should be, right? Or we weren't consistently, if, like you talked about segmenting your revenues, if things weren't being consistently recorded in the accounting system, well, it didn't matter before because nobody was looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
But now we are, and it just, it helps feed that emotional argument, mm-hmm. of, oh, well, this isn't right. Well, it's not right because the tool is wrong. It's garbage in, garbage out. The data coming in was wrong. And so how do you help people kind of navigate through some of those challenges?
Yeah, to an extent, what I've seen, it's kind of like the chicken or the egg scenario, where you start off and you're working with what you have. So a lot of times people will think, oh, no, you know, this is our process. Our data is pretty clean. And more often than not, it's not. And you have to go through some form of kind of shoring up the data sets that you have to a mm-hmm. degree. Or you kind of make the call that, yeah, it's not great, but it's good enough. And we're going to start tracking this. We're going to tell people why. We're going to start showing people that we're actually using this information to make decisions that impact them, and kind of raise that awareness with the folks that are entering the data. Because oftentimes people don't want to change. It's hard to get organization changed like that. And without kind of demonstrating the why and using that information, people are reluctant to really take a serious approach to how they might be entering a certain data set or approaching a certain process or something like that. Yeah. So,
and because of that, you know, in a lot of this, you know, if you look at any kind of organizational change, right, you've got to find some way to get that momentum going, right? To be able to show people that that this is going to work, right? It's mm-hmm. gonna pay dividends. It's gonna be work. People's way of doing business is gonna change. Some people are gonna have to pick up some responsibility. Other people are gonna lose some responsibilities. But you know, that's almost kind of a best practice, right? Start small with a team or mm-hmm. a group that's looking at it. You know, I know within our firm, as we've been doing some stuff on segmenting our revenues and looking at where our segments are and our service lines, you know, you started with a smaller group, right, that was looking at the data. So you could go through some of those things, mm-hmm. right? And you could discuss the challenges and the issues before it gets out to the firm as a whole, right? So that'd be probably a best practice, is starting small with a contained group.
Certainly, yeah. I think setting a very narrow kind of problem or definition on the onset leads to a greater success in the long run. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so with that, you know, any suggestions for folks? I mean, kind of going back to what you talked about initially, like was identifying your, you know, identifying what it is you want to measure, you know, so really in some extent, you got to understand where you're at and where you want to get to. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of take the smallest step you can forward. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Keep things going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's most time you kind of start with the vision or where you want to be. And then it's like, okay, if I want to be there, where am I now? And that becomes a matter of kind of descriptive and diagnostic analytics where we're looking at, you know, what has this been for us over the history? Why has that been? Okay, now what is it that we need to change or what are the metrics that we need to measure going forward to drive this particular action to get to this particular outcome?
Yeah. So, I guess any kind of examples that you've either seen, I don't know whether it's within our client base or just, you know, things that you've studied that kind of shows the impact of what, you know, some of these, analytics you can do for a company or for, you know, for analyzing a situation.
Sure. I think that there's, you know, a varying set of things that we've seen. You know, I'll take an example where we were helping a company start to aggregate kind of their sales information, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, they had multiple locations and they're trying to figure out why some locations might do better than others, right? We were able to kind of help them compile information amongst those kind of locations and present that to them in a fashion that really helped them to start to kind of actually drive individual changes in those locations and their operations. So instead of looking at, you know, their financial statements or their operations as a whole and then saying, I've got to run 30 different reports to ultimately get to this one answer every time I want to track where we're at, we were able to kind of help automate that process and bring them from a historic management, I guess, perspective of kind of managing by intuition. I don't have this information. It takes me mm-hmm. a long time to compile this information to, well, no, we can compile this relatively quickly. Now, if you automate something, you can, you know, essentially push a button and get this answer if you're confident that this is kind of the right measure or the right thing to be tracking to drive change in your organization, you know, and I think that you know, ultimately that drives outcomes in efficiencies, you know, in those organizations or in that organization in particular. So all of a sudden you're able to kind of benchmark your locations against each other and then have them start working together to all kind of learn from each other and move in a consistent direction, you know, in line with your goal. So.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting you mentioned that because I know in working with, you know, a number of different clients of mine who've had their, you know, they develop their own internal spreadsheets, right? Of, mm-hmm. hey, this is, we take whatever's in QuickBooks or within our ERP, we dump it into this spreadsheet, and then somebody spends a bunch of time going through. And some of that, I think, also inhibits people from getting into data analytics because they're like, oh my God, the time I need to spend getting this formatted properly, getting it in. But there are those automation tools now that'll help, you know, do it. Like you said, you can do it daily. You can do it at the press of a button. You get the most recent data. You know, I think our dashboard update daily automatically. Mm-hmm. It goes in, pulls the most recent data, you know, and now there's no question about, okay, you know, when was this last updated? You know, oh, you're looking at the February report, but I'm looking at the January report, you know? And so now you start solving some of those internal operational issues because all that goes to credibility, right? Mm-hmm. If people are already doubting that this works properly or that it's giving you the information you want, any little hiccup, an account being grouped improperly or, you know, somebody didn't pull the right report to update the report. Now people just, they don't say, oh, there's a flaw in our process. They say, well, it just doesn't work and let's scrap it and go back to what we were doing. So, mm-hmm. So yeah, it's important to kind of get those things in place and use the tools that are available to you, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that over the last few years, there have been some new tools introduced, you know, at least to the middle market that mm-hmm. you can get some mileage out of at a relatively low cost. You look at things like, you know, Power BI, a Microsoft product has been I think, an excellent solution for kind of starting small and you're dipping your toe into data analytics. You might want to combine two spreadsheets, two data sources, something like that, just to get an answer. It's a great pilot type application to get your feet wet at a low cost.
So. Yeah. And so for folks who might not be overly familiar with that, so Power BI is kind of, I mean, for lack of a better, it's like Excel on steroids, right? It's got a lot more, it uses some of the Excel functionality, but it's, you know, it builds on that. And
yeah, I think in Excel, the capabilities in Excel have grown over the last few years as well. But Power BI is kind of that next level that is much better at distributing information to a group of people, your management, you know, distributing the information that you want to be distributed to them on a regular basis. And it's a more of a kind of a proactive pushing information out to people versus a reactive, I got to go find this spreadsheet and then, you know, get to the right tab and find the right answer type of thing.
Yep. So, and also kind of solves the problem that, you know, that a lot of companies have, right? That spreadsheet's probably on their network somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm traveling, not that too many people are traveling right now, but, you know, if I'm traveling and I want to see the latest revenue report, you know, you can publish those dashboards and things out to people so they can pull it up on their phone. They've got ready access to it, mm-hmm. which I think also helps, right? That the more you can do to give people different options to access these reports, to see these reports, if it's something I can only get to when I'm in my office, at my desk, logged onto the network, mm-hmm. It just makes it harder for people to get to and be able to use these things.
Yeah, one of the things that comes to light, I think, relatively quickly is just how much of a barrier even going four folders deep and pulling up a report can be. You wouldn't think it's like it's, you know, it's four or five clicks. You know, you wouldn't think that mentally that would be a barrier for people, but oftentimes it is. Versus if I can go to one place that has all of my information and it's one click away, the tendency for people to start using data is much greater if you can remove just even a few clicks for them and isolate data to one place. So
exactly. I think we've all experienced that, you know, somebody hyperlinks out a file in an email and then you pull it up on your phone and you can't get to the file because it's you're not on the network anymore. So
and then you ultimately just end up trying to make a decision based on your intuition on, you know, well, this is how it's gone in the past. It's going to be within this range. Let's just keep doing this, you know. And I think one of the dangers that you see here is that, you know, everybody's aware the world moves faster and faster every day and things are changing on a quicker and quicker basis. And it's like that just drives the inherent need to look at data real time and, you know, make sure that you're making decisions based on what's happened in the last few months and not just what you know to be true over the last 10 years. You know, things have changed over the last 10 years more. So,
well, I'm going to throw you a curveball here for a minute, go off script a little bit, but let's talk about the kind of the holy grail. I think is what probably a lot of people think about when they're talking about analytics, you know, predictive, prescriptive analytics, right? Mm-hmm. I want to be able to go to a dashboard and see, hey, you need to change your business in this way based on what's going on in the market and things like that. And that's where everybody wants to get to, right? Mm-hmm. But you kind of got to go through the knothole you're talking about here first, because you can't just jump right to that, right? You've got to get all these things sorted out at the outset, get your data sets clean, get your employees and your management team using data to make decisions before you can get to that point, right? That's
absolutely, yeah. So the typical kind of progression in value in data analytics is you start with descriptive analytics, right? It's just describing what's happening or what's going on in your business, what's happening or what's going on in your business. Mm-hmm. The next stage is really diagnostics, where it's like, well, why is this happening? Mm-hmm. You know, the third stage is predictive, meaning, you know, I think this might happen in your business based on this history that I've seen, to prescriptive being, we think this is going to happen. We know you want to do, you know, X. So we think you should do Y to achieve X outcome, mm-hmm. right? You know, and that is kind of the holy grail and what people are working towards. But in the middle market, by and large, we're still in the descriptive and barely into the diagnostic phase. So to your point, it is a matter of, you got to get your arms around the data that you have, the true problems that you're trying to solve, the why, and then you'll naturally kind of have to work through that progression to get the information you need to be able to make those prescriptive and predictive, outcomes, I guess. So,
which, you know, and kind of serves then as motivation for business owners, right? This isn't something you can just wait 2 years, say, I'll wait in 2 years and there'll be, there'll be Power BI version 2.0 that's going to do all this for me, right? Mm-hmm. It's still, the tool can only do so much. And so you have to start incorporating the culture, the habits, you know, making sure that data is being collected consistently, accurately. So if you want to get to that stage, if you want to grow to that prescriptive, stage of analytics, you got to start now. To get there in a couple of years, man, I don't know. There's probably statistics out there on that of how long it takes to get to that point. But getting started now is the important thing, right?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think it's, even things will advance, but at the end of the day, there is a lot of tailoring that happens in anybody's ERP system. Everybody does something a little bit different. So it's getting your arms around, okay, this is the general, use case or scenario, but here's how we do things, and mapping that difference between how we do things and the problem is kind of what you need to start doing now if you want to get there. Yeah.
So I guess, Ben, if someone listening to this, one of our hundreds of thousands of millions of listeners, is looking to learn a bit more about this or kind of, has a question, may want to reach out, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
This is audio. I mean, email me anytime. I think we could stop by our website. I have a couple of articles out there, and through that, there's a contact form that they're more than welcome to kind of drop us a note, and I would be more than happy to give them a call and talk them through any situation.
Excellent. So, Denise, I'm going to use that as a test going forward for people who are A, listening, and B, that they pass the marketing test and direct people to our website. So you passed, Ben. Unfortunately, Ruben, if you're listening to this, you did not pass. So.
Right.
Well, Ben, I appreciate you coming in, and spend some time with folks and yeah, hopefully we'll give some people a few things to think about, and by all means, reach out to us if there's any way we can help. Thanks.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to like us, subscribe, and share on social. To learn more about Clayton and McCurvey, visit us at claytonmckervey.com. That's claytonmckervey.com. We thrive on finding the opportunities and solutions you deserve.